Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've started nearly 3 weeks ago talking about a Christian philosophy, a Christian way of thinking. And this week, I've been emphasizing from Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve didn't really have the depth of relationship with God that they needed. And you can see that because Satan came and said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, that God does know that in the day you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And he was implying that God was withholding good from them, that God was keeping them from reaching their full potential. So really, this was a slander against God. And if they had truly known how much God was for them, they never would have bought into this lie. So I'm saying that Adam and Eve didn't know God as well as they should. And I know that some people just think, well, they were sinless, they were perfect. But they didn't know the things that I know. They didn't know that God loved them so much that he would literally die for them. If they would have known that, they never would have bought into this lie. They didn't really know God. And you know, the sad fact is that there's a lot of people today who are born again and they know God is Savior. They believe that their eternal salvation is taken care of, but they don't know God the way that they should. And therefore, they're susceptible to lies about God, that God is the one that puts sickness on you, that God's one that puts poverty on you, that God causes hardship in your life, that God, if you yield to him, is going to do something bad in your life. You know, I was raised in a denomination that they would sing these songs about just as I am and wherever he leads, I'll go and follow Jesus. I will follow him. But every time they would do that, then they would give some story about a person who, when they made their commitment to the Lord, God sent them to some remote place in the earth. They suffered. They got sick. They died. They lost their wife. And it was just tragic. It was tragic, tragic every time. And so I made this connection that, you know what, yielding to God is going to destroy my life. And that's not true. But see, that's what religion says. That's what Satan was basically saying to Adam and Eve. If you keep following God's instruction and don't eat of this tree, then you'll never reach your full potential. But if you eat of that tree, man, then you're going to be like God. You'll know good and evil and you'll be better off. He basically had them misunderstand God. He misrepresented God and they bought into his lie because they didn't know him. See, now that I know God to a greater degree and I have a stronger relationship with God, I know that God, he may ask something that is difficult of me sometimes because there is a goal out here. People need to be reached. But he's always going to give me the grace to do it. And if God led me to go minister in Africa, it's because I would fall in love with the people of Africa and it would be just perfect for me. God's not going to do things that hurt you and harm you. God is for you. You know, I don't know how to get this across to you any better than what I'm doing. But God is your best friend that you've ever had. And somebody may, that just may offend you because you think, oh yeah, God's want to kill my parents. God's want to kill my wife, kill my child, cause my child to be born mongoloid. That's not true. God didn't do any of those things. God is for you. And people say, well, then if he's for me, then why did this happen? Because God doesn't just control things. He gave so much authority and control to mankind that we are the ones that are in control. And we have yielded that authority to the devil. And Satan is using our cooperation to wreak havoc in our individual lives, in our economy, in our health, in this world. And the only way that that can be fixed is God just isn't going to come down and automatically do it for us. He has to flow through people. And we need to get people cooperating with God and allowing him to come back in and release his goodness. But no, God's not the one who's causing problems in your life. God is your best friend, whether you know it or not. God is for you and not against you. When the Lord tells you not to commit adultery, it's not because he wants you to stay forever in a dead marriage and just suffer the rest of your life. No, it's because adultery is bad for you. It's bad for the person that you commit adultery with. It is not the answer. It's not the solution. There's other ways to fix the problem. Somebody says, yeah, he doesn't want me to go get drunk. And man, I get a great satisfaction out of getting drunk. That's the only peace I have. It's the only escape that I have. God is saying that he doesn't want you to get drunk because he is meant to fill that place in your life. You know, when God created man, we were full of God. God breathed himself, his spirit into us, and we were full of God. When we rebelled at God, we kicked God out of our life. We died, and there became a God-shaped vacuum on the inside of every person. And people don't realize it, but all of these things that people are seeking after, sex, drugs, alcohol, money, success, the acclaim of man, fame, recognition, it's just a human attempt to try and fill this void. We think if I could have a bigger house, a bigger car, a different mate, if I could just have the recognition of man, if I could be famous, then I'll be content and satisfied. And yet, you can look at people who have reached fame. You can find people who are known all over the world, the movie stars. You can find people who have reached positions of influence, politicians. And there are multiple examples, in fact, a majority of people who have all of these things that we think are going to make us happy. They aren't happy. They're committing suicide. They're miserable. They're on drugs and alcohol. They're having to go into rehabilitation centers. Those things aren't going to fill this vacuum that's on the inside. We were made for a relationship with God, and it's relationship with God that is going to make you satisfied and happy. You know, the reason I don't do drugs and don't do alcohol is because I'm not miserable. I don't have to escape. I don't have to put my health at risk, my reputation at risk. I don't have to hurt myself financially. I don't have to do these things in order to try and escape and gain some freedom from this terrible life I'm living. Man, I have a relationship with God. And as it says in Psalms chapter 16, I believe it's verse 11, in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Once you have a real relationship with God, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I guarantee you, I don't have to go do something. I'm not having to get into pornography. I don't have to have another mate trying to fulfill the absence of something in my life. God is everything to me. The relationship with God has satisfied me so that I don't want all of these other things. And I know what I'm saying is abnormal to many of you, and many of you are thinking you're just saying that. But I'm telling you, I know me, and I'm telling you this is how it works. And you can have a relationship with God where you don't have to have all of these crutches and things to lean upon. God made us for that. Look at these verses in Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is praying a prayer for these Ephesians. In verse 14 it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." There is so much in those verses, I can't expound on all of this, but in verse 18, it shows that there is dimension to the love of God. There isn't just this surface knowledge, just knowing that He loves you, but you can plunge into that. You can be overwhelmed with the love of God, to know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth. And then in verse 19, it says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." Now, this sounds like a contradiction of terms. If it passes knowledge, then how can you know it? Because this is talking about two different kinds of knowing. It's talking about that you might experience the love of Christ, which passes mere intellectual knowledge. You know, it's one thing for you to say, oh yeah, God loves me. We were taught that as little kids. Jesus loves me, this I know. And we have this piece of information, but with most people, it hasn't become a philosophy. It hasn't become a way of thinking that influences everything. It's not a reality with most people. This is talking about that you might experience the love of Christ, which passes mere knowledge about it. And then the last part of this verse says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, all of us would love to be filled with the fullness of God. Think about what that's saying. The fullness of God. Man, do you think God is depressed, discouraged, fearful, anxious, worried? Absolutely not. Do you think God is sick? No. Do you think God is poor? No. Do you think God is living an abundant life, has an anointing? Everything that God is, it says if you want to be filled with all that God is, healing, prosperity, joy, peace, anointing, purpose, direction, if you want all of these things, how do you get it? Well, let's backtrack from that verse. Here's the result. You want the fullness of God. How do you get it? By experiencing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That's what this word know is talking about. You know, in the Old Testament, when it lists all of the genealogies and things, it'll say, like in Genesis chapter 5, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare a child. When it talks about knowing a person, it's talking about this intimacy, a sexual relationship, the most intimate personal relationship you can have with another human being. And it's saying that this is talking about intimacy. This is saying that when you experience the love of Christ, that passes mere knowledge about Him. And when that happens, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Well, that's a powerful statement. So look at it this way. Are you not filled with the fullness of God? Is there loneliness? Is there boredom in your life? Is there frustration? Is there fear? Is there angry? Are you worried? Are you sick? Are you poor? Are you any of these things that reflect a lack of the fullness of God in your life? Well, then, according to these verses, you need a revelation of how much God loves you. Or you could phrase it this way. You need a deeper relationship with God. You need to experience the love of Christ, which just passes mere knowledge about Him. Brothers and sisters, I deal with so many people. I deal with thousands and thousands of people personally that come to our meetings, and I talk to them and minister to them. And nearly every single time that a person comes up and they're struggling and they want to be healed, I could sit there and just preach to them about relationship with God, because they don't know God. They're desperate. They are coming to me in a sense saying that, you know what, God doesn't hear my prayers. I can't relate to God. I would you please do it? God listens to you better. God knows you better. Which that's not true. God loves all of us exactly the same. His grace is exactly the same towards every one of us. Now, it's true that I have a revelation. I have pursued God, and I have a revelation of God that some other people don't have. It's not God that just makes certain people so that He can know, so that they can know Him. No, God wants to know all of us intimately, but not all of us do, because we get occupied with this world. We've been taught the wrong things. Religion prejudices us against God. As a matter of fact, religion today as a whole is doing exactly what the devil did in Genesis chapter 3, misrepresenting God and saying God is the one that put all of these problems on your life. God is beating you up. God is the one that's causing failure in your life. And it's causing people to turn away from God and look somewhere else to get this vacuum filled on the inside. But God wants to have relationship with every single person. God loves you intimately. Jesus died for you. If you had been the only person on the face of the earth, Jesus would have still died for you. He loves you that much. It's not like it took millions and billions of people to make it worth God's while. God loved you so much that if you would have been the only person alive, Jesus would have died for you. I'm convinced of that. He loves you that much, and He wants relationship with you. Now, it's obvious that not every Christian has that type of a relationship with God, but it's not because God doesn't desire it. It's because we've been lied to and we've been taught that you've got to earn this relationship, and so you got to keep all of the laws and you got to go to church and pay your tithes and study the Word and live holy and do this. And most people are on a treadmill trying to accomplish all of these things, but they know in their heart that they're falling short, and so they just won't let God love them that way. They won't receive this relationship with God because their own heart is condemning them and telling them they're unworthy. That's because they've got a wrong philosophy. They've been told that God only loves us when we're worth loving, that when we mess up, God's angry at us. But the Scripture reveals a different philosophy, that God paid for all of our sins, past, present, and even future sins that haven't even been committed yet. They're out of the way. Sin is not the issue. God loves you, and God is willing to have relationship with you, even when you are less than what you're supposed to be, even when you aren't perfect. And if you would adopt the philosophy that the Word of God teaches, the love of God would just explode on the inside of you. And when the love of God comes, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says that in Christ Jesus, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't accomplish anything, but it's faith which works by love. When you understand how much God loves you, and if you could get rid of the religious philosophies that most of us have been burdened down with, and if you could take the Word of God and get the true philosophy and find out how much God loves you, I guarantee you, your faith would go through the roof. And all things are possible to him that believes. Faith is what releases the ability and the power of God. And you would see healing come to your body. You would see finances begin to start flowing your way. You would see God working on other people in relationships. You would have purpose and direction. I'm telling you that if you understood, if you just would let the love of God flow to you like we read in these verses, and understand the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth, and experience this love, you would be filled with all the fullness of God. You would have everything to its max. You would be blessed, blessed, blessed. And there are no exceptions to that. And I know that this sounds nearly too good to be true to a lot of people. A lot of people think that's too simple. There's got to be more to it than this. No, I've got to do something complicated. No, it really comes down to just knowing God. Go back again to Adam and Eve. If Adam and Eve would have known God, if they had experienced, at this time, they had never experienced any rejection or punishment from God, but they had also never felt the total love of God by recognizing that Jesus died for them. It hadn't happened at this time. They didn't know that that was going to happen. They didn't understand the love of God the way that I've been describing. If they had experienced the love of God, if somehow or another they could have experienced Jesus dying for their sins and revealing himself to them on that level, and if they had that experience of God's love working in them, they would have been so full of God, as it's saying here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, that when Satan says, oh, you need something more, you need this to be more like God, they would have said, man, we are already like God. We are already full. God loves us. God has given us a perfect world, perfect atmosphere, perfect situation. Everything's perfect. God is good. They would have just thought on that. They would have been full, and they wouldn't have been susceptible to a temptation. Did you know before any of us can sin, Satan basically has to make you dissatisfied with what you already had? And here were Adam and Eve living in sinless perfection, and yet a talking snake made them dissatisfied with God, convinced them that God was holding out on them, that there was something more. Now stop and think about this. If you could take people who were living in perfection, there was no problems. They didn't have the news media bombarding them with every tragic thing that happened. There wasn't anything tragic happening. There was nothing bad. Everything was perfect. They didn't come from a dysfunctional family. The atmosphere was perfect. The temperature was perfect. The food was perfect. Their mate was perfect. Everything was perfect. If you could take people who lived in perfection and make them dissatisfied, thinking that there has to be something more, then just stop and think about people who live in corruption that we now find ourselves in, a fallen world where there is more than enough to be dissatisfied with. We are being bombarded constantly with images of hatred and strife and killing and the terrible things that are happening. We live in a bad place. If perfect people living in perfection could become dissatisfied through deception, what do you think about fallen people living in a fallen world? Do you think that we could be dissatisfied? That's where most of us live, is in dissatisfaction. But the truth is that through Jesus, we can become so satisfied with Him that even though we live in a fallen world, we can be filled with all the fullness of God as we just experience the love of God. Boy, this is powerful. You know, I just don't have the words to convey to you how powerful what I'm saying is. Hopefully the Holy Spirit, hopefully you are listening and opening up your heart, and the Holy Spirit is just drawing you and saying, if you could just experience this height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God, you'd be filled with the fullness of God. Faith would work by love. All of the things that you are needing and desiring and need God to supply, your faith would just abound if you could just understand this, if you could just have a relationship with God. So you can go back to Adam and Eve and say this, that even though Adam and Eve were living in sinless perfection, they had a deficiency in their relationship with God. They didn't truly understand and know God the way that they should, and because of that, they submitted to temptation. Likewise, today, you and I have a deficiency in our relationship with God. Not because God isn't communicating and wanting a greater relationship. Most of us just aren't entering into it, either because we've been taught wrong and we think that we have to earn it and it's just impossible for us to get any closer. We're humans. We're making mistakes. That's a wrong philosophy. Or possibly it's just that you are so caught up with the things of the world. We are pursuing things so much. We have so much stuff being thrown at us every day that we don't have time to be still and know that He is God and to know how much He loves us. But you can change those things. You can renew your mind and you can get rid of these religious philosophies that have damaged our relationship and make us think we have to be worthy in order for God to love us. You can renew that through the Word of God. You can spend time. You can be still and know that He is God. You can draw nigh to the Lord, and the promises are that if you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. Jeremiah chapter 29, that you shall seek Me and you shall find Me when you shall search for Me with all of your heart. I'm promising you that God wants relationship with you more than you want relationship with Him. And so it's not really a matter of you trying to do something to force this on God. God wants it more than you want it. It's a matter of you just allowing God to love you. As it says, I believe it's in Psalms chapter 35, verse 27, it says, "Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." You have to let it happen. God wants to do it, but you have to let it happen. You have to yield to it. You have to seek it. God loves you and wants relationship with you, and this is a Christian philosophy that you need to have. And if you would do that, I guarantee you, it would just make a huge difference in your life. Now, today's going to be my last day to offer you this fourth teaching in our six-part set entitled Christian Philosophy. So if you want this fourth teaching as a gift, you need to call or write today and request this teaching on the relationship with God. Listen as our announcer gives you that information. Please call or write today and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 1 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1047C or DVD album T1047D when you contact us. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled Relationship with God is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP4C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to let you know that Andrew's latest book, The Believer's Authority, is available and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. A Spanish version is also available. Visit our website for more information.
Let me remind you once again about how we make our materials available to you. We're offering this entire teaching on Christian philosophy, and I have a CD set, 6 parts, and also I have a DVD set, As Seen on TV, and we ask for a donation of any amount. We have a suggested donation, but some people cannot or would not send that, and so we ask you to just give something. But there's some people who wouldn't or couldn't give anything. And so what we do is make each individual teaching in these albums available to you one at a time, free of charge. My partners have enabled me to do that. And we want you to have this truth. So today is the last day that I'm offering the 4th part in this 6-part series on Christian philosophy. This 4th teaching is entitled Relationship with God. Call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to come and be with me on September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be at Freedom Christian Center with my good friend, Pastor Dean Melton. I tell you, this is one of my favorite places to go. These people, if you have never been to Charlotte, to this Freedom Christian Center camp meeting, you are missing an experience. Not only the teaching of the Word and the power of God and healings and all of the things that go with a normal meeting, I tell you, the people there are special. Coming to see Pastor Dean is an experience in itself. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to come be with us. We actually hold our meetings under a brush arbor. It's going to be a great time, September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina next week, September 13th through the 18th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.